This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
I'll never know why you did what you did. Didn't have to die, but you did. You hung from the cross so I wouldn't be lost. You took my place, now you plead my case. Didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. Didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. You didn't have to suffer. You didn't have to give your life. You could have come down from that cross, but you chose to die. You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when they pierced your side, you just hung, bled, and died. I'll never know why you did what you did. Didn't have to die, but you did. You hung from the cross so that I wouldn't be lost. You took my place, now you plead my case. Didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. Didn't have to do it, no, but I'm so glad you did. You didn't have to come down from the Father's side, but because of your love for me, you made that sacrifice, and you knew no sin, but became sin for me. For all who believe can live eternally. I'll never know why you did what you did. Didn't have to die, but you did. You hung from the cross so that I wouldn't be lost. You took my place, now you plead my case. Didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did, my Lord. You didn't have to do it, no, but I'm so glad you did. Didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. Yes, didn't have to do it, no, but I'm so glad you did.
Amen. How many people know that Jesus didn't have to do it? Amen. But I'm so glad that he did. Amen. See, maybe y'all don't get that this morning, but I realize that if he didn't die on that cross, I wouldn't be standing right here today. Amen. It's up by the grace of God. Amen. Somebody ought to give Jesus a hand just for dying for you. Amen. And dying for me. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, God, just for the opportunity to learn more about your word today. We thank you, God, for the power of your word and your power of your grace and your mercy. Lord, we ask now that you consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen. Amen. I thank God for the reading of our scripture on our about communion today, but we want to look at Acts the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. Acts the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. It says, the former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Let's jump down to verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you saved? Just get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the question this morning. Say, neighbor, are you saved? Are you saved? You know, we spend a lot of time talking about different things in the church, the operations of the church, how we should act, what we should do. But really, the question is, are you saved? And normally when you're saved and you're really sure enough saved, and I'm not talking about coming down here and just crying with tears in your eyes because you messed up of all the stuff that's going on in your life and you're just sorry, not for what you did, but you're really sorry because of all the stuff that happened because of what you did, And sometimes you just cry in the blues and you come up here, oh Lord, I'm sorry, but you're really not sorry. You're just sorry because of the stuff that you're in. But true repentance is really repenting or to turn from the life that you had in sin and deciding to follow Jesus. The question this morning is, are you saved? And how you know that you're saved is that there will be some evidence that there's been a change in your life. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, meaning a new creation. Old things are what? Passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what it says is that, you know what? There is a change that has happened in my life. You know, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. The songwriter says, oh, what a change this has happened in my life. I'm convinced that once you have had an encounter with Jesus, that your life cannot be the same. Like, will you still have some hang-ups? Yes. Will you have still struggle with some stuff? Yes. But I'm convinced that once Jesus has encountered your life and you have encountered Jesus, there will be a change that take place. I'm reminded of the story that when Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, had approached Jesus, and if you remember, she was already 6 months pregnant, and she approached Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, and the Bible says that John, the baby inside of Elizabeth, when they had that encounter, that salutation occurred, that the baby leaped inside. It's because of the fact that when Jesus comes in your presence, you know, I know there's a song that says he'll make you jump, but I know Jesus will make you jump. He will leap out of your circumstance, leap out of your situation, leap out of the sin that you're in, and decide, make a conscious decision that you want to follow him and live after his word. Can someone say amen? In John the 14th chapter, verse 15 to 17, it says, If you love me, if there's been a change in your life, if you've been saved, it says, if you love me, then keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Well, what is he talking about? He's saying that I'm going to give you another one just like me. When we talk about Jesus the Christ was full of the Holy Spirit. We know that when he was baptized, he came straightway out of the water. And it says, lo, the heavens were open, and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove and lightning upon him. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was full of the Holy Spirit, but he was with the disciples. He walked with them. He talked with them. And the Spirit was with the disciples. But he says that I'm going away to prepare a place with you. But as I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter, meaning another one just like me, because we know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are all one, but Jesus, he ascended so that the Spirit of God could descend, but now the comforter that was with them, now the Holy Spirit can indwell in us, and because Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he ascended, he did not just leave us abandoned, but he sent us another comforter, and that was the Holy Spirit. Spirit. So he says that if you love me, if you are saved, then keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or another one just like me, that he shall abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it knoweth him not, seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but she knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now we do not have to wait for the disciples, because Jesus was there with him. But now, as you are saved, as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what happens is that the Spirit of God comes and indwells in your life. Now, if the Spirit of God is in you, I am convinced that, you know, every time that you decide or think about doing something wrong or are tempted in doing something wrong, you hear this little voice. Now, I'm not talking about them voices that you need, a psychiatric evaluation. I'm talking about a spirit that is within you called the Holy Spirit that will convict you and say, you know what, you're not supposed to go there. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to say that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And you're hearing the voice. You're hearing the Spirit of God directing you, telling you that you should not do something, and you go ahead and just do it anyway. And what it is because the Spirit of God is in you. He's telling you. He's directing you. He's guiding you. But sometimes we are just really just straight out disobedient and say, we're not going to do what God's Spirit tells us to do. We're going to go where we want to go, how we want to go. But if you love him, if you're saved, you will listen to that voice of the Spirit of God and allow him to direct you. Are you going to make some bad choices along the way? Yes. Do I make some bad choices along the way? Yes. But every day you ought to be stepping closer and closer to God's mark. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 49, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city that you be endued or clothed from power on high. John 7:37. It says, in the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood up and cried. He says, if any man thirst, let him come to me to drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given, because Jesus had not been glorified. The disciples had to wait, but we don't have to wait. The evidence that you have been saved is that the Spirit of God has come into your life and is now leading you towards righteous living. Can someone say amen? The question this morning is, are you saved? Now, in our new congregants class, if you come to class one, you will find some of the stuff out that I'm talking about today. But there are three processes of being saved. Three processes of being saved. The first one says, I am saved. Everyone say that. I am saved. I am saved. Well, what does this mean? I am saved. I am saved says that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, we say it every Sunday. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, and believe in your heart that Christ has raised, that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Says, I am saved. John 3:16, we say it all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You'll be saved. It's that simple. A lot of times we try to make it complicated. We try to dress it up and say, well, you have to do this. You have to leap over four pews. We have to do this. You have to talk in tongues. You have to stand up. When we say stand up, sit down. You have to clap. You have to. No. What it says is that when you are saved, it simply says that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It says that you have, one, acknowledged that he is Lord. He is King of your life. You have crowned him as one that's going to be the ruler and person that is in charge of your life. You have accepted the responsibility that says, I am now a slave to you. And I know that is a challenging statement for some people, because we don't like the idea of someone ruling over our life. You know, especially men. I mean, we got this ego issue that, you know what, ain't nobody in charge of me. I'm in charge of my own self. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And we got a list about why we can't be under somebody else. But I want to let you know right now that in order to be saved, you have to crown him king of your life. The songwriter says, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thou shall the glory be, lest I forget that thy burden, thy cross that shall bear on Calvary. Lord, lead me to Calvary. You have to understand you have a responsibility to give him leadership or rulership over your life. That's the first thing. You have to crown him as Lord. Then believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. What that says is that, one, that you believe that he died. And that he died for your sins, and he was buried, and he was risen again, and he's coming back, and he sits on the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you. You have to understand that Jesus Christ died, and he rose again. Now, if you believe that, and then you want to crown him as Lord of your life, what you are saying, yes, I am saved. Well, what does it mean to be saved? It means that you have been justified. Everybody say justified. Justified. When we say justified, it is the first part of salvation that says that I am now saved. I have received the righteousness of God in my life. God has given me holiness. You know, when you were born with a name tag that said sinner. You were born with a name tag that says damned or condemned. Had that name tag, but once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what he did is flip your name tag over, and on the other side it said the righteousness of God in him. It said I am holy. It's not based upon what you do or what you have done or what you're going to do. It is the position and the identity that God has given you that says I am now saved. I don't care what people said about you. I don't care how many people try to dig up your past. It says now I am saved. Once you have received that, nobody can take that away from you. No one, you can't sin your way out of it. But I am convinced that if you are saved, you will love him. And if you are saved, you will keep his commandments. But what it says is that now I have been justified. What it means is just as if I had not sinned, therefore now I have the righteousness of God. God has washed all my sins away because he died on Calvary, because he hung high, stretched his arm wide, and hung his head and died for me. Now I am saved. I have accepted that, and now I am saved. How many people are saved this morning? How many people have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What that says today, that you're saved. Don't let nobody tell you different. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not, because of the fact it is a gift of God. If you've received it one day and said that I am accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, can't no devil in hell, can't no heathen next to you take it away from you, because it is a gift from God. I know we're about to celebrate Christmas, but I want you to understand that besides all the gifts that are under the tree, there's no greater gift than the gift of God that he extended towards us when he died on the cross and says, now I am extending you the gift of life. See, when you were born, you were given a gift through the bloodline of Adam that said death. You were given a gift and it was wrapped and it said damnation. You were given a gift and it was wrapped and it says bound for hell. But then Jesus came down through 40 and two generations to a virgin named Mary, and he died on a cross for our sins, and he took those gifts and put them aside, and he wrapped another gift and said the righteousness of God in him. He wrapped another gift and it says I am saved. He wrapped another gift and said blood wash. He wrapped another gift and it says holiness. He wrapped another gift and he says you are now the righteousness of God in him. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I am saved. Oh, come on, put those hands together and bless Jesus this morning. I'm glad this morning that I'm saved. I'm blood washed. I'm changed. Not because of anything that I have done, because of the fact, simply because he died for me and I accepted him and crowned him Lord of my life. I'm saved. I don't know. I could stay all day on that because of the fact that he died for me. I didn't work for this. You know, a lot of times we try to say, well, you know, I do good deeds, I do this, I do that. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one should boast of the fact that you have salvation. It's a gift of God. You didn't work for it, you didn't earn it, you didn't buy it, you didn't pay for it. God gave it to you.
And nobody can say that you're better than anybody else, because all of us at some point was a sinner. But now I am the righteousness of God. You know, you hear somebody sometimes up here, and they just really, we have a lot of different churches in here. Some of them a little misdirected. And they will have you repeat this prayer. It says that, well, I am a sinner. No, I am not a sinner. I was a sinner. I was changed. That was my old life. But now the identity that has been put on me by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because I have accepted him, I am now saved. I was a sinner. I am not a sinner anymore. Don't call me what I'm not. Don't call me out of my name. I am the righteousness of God in him. I am saved. I've been justified just as if I had not sinned. Well, what else is there in the process of salvation? One is that I have been justified. The second thing says that I am going through a process of sanctification. The idea of being sanctified is really a challenge because of the fact that you really never complete this act of sanctification until you are completely changed. Sanctified says I'm completely perfect or set apart. But sanctification is a continual process that we are going through to the point of our death. From the time that we accept Jesus Christ to the time of our complete changeover, it is a process of sanctification. Let me come closer. Let's look at Philippians, the third chapter, verse 12 to 14. We talked about a little bit of this verse earlier, but it says, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. Now let's break that down a little bit. Not that I have apprehended that which also I apprehended in Christ Jesus. Just a moment ago, we talked about justification. Justification says that we have been given righteousness. We have been given holiness. It is a gift from God. God has delivered that to you on a silver platter simply because you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, simply because of the fact that you committed your life to him, and you accepted the fact that he has died, and that death and resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection was a remedy for your sin. Now, we have been given righteousness. But it says, so therefore, not have we have apprehended that which also we've already been given in Christ Jesus. We have not obtained in our ways what Christ has already given us, our identity. It does not change our identity. Our identity says holiness. Our identity says save. Our identity says the righteousness of God. But what it says is that although I have this identity over here that people call me, that people should identify me of because of Christ's blood, I am still struggling with some stuff. I'm trying to get to that point where my ways catch up to what God has given me. Not that I have apprehended that which also I already apprehended in Christ Jesus, but I'm trying to get there. How many people are struggling with some stuff? All right, the rest of you are lying. I'm struggling with some stuff. There's some stuff that I'm still trying to work on. I'm trying to get better. And Paul says that even though that when I try to do good, evil is always present with me. And Paul says that I have not apprehended that which also I apprehended in Christ Jesus, but I'm pressing toward the I'm trying to get there. Winds are blowing, trying to push me back. Temptations are coming, trying to stop me from getting to the plate. But I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. See, when you sin, what it says is that you constantly miss the mark. If you come to class, there is an example that we have about a bullseye. If you ever shot archery, and inside the middle of the archer's target, there's a red dot. And that's the bullseye. And I used to shoot archery, but every time you might not want to stand within 45 degrees to the left or the right, because if I shot a bow, it's definitely not going to hit the target. It's going to go off that way. And you are in a danger zone if you're 45 degrees left or right, because you might just get shot by an arrow, because I'm constantly missing the mark. But all of us have missed the mark, and because of the blood of Christ is the only way that we have received righteousness. But I'm constantly pressing, and I'm constantly shooting and practicing, trying to get closer to the mark. And that's why Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. What is this process? This process is sanctification. I'm working on it. I'm getting there. I'm struggling. I'm dealing with some stuff in my life. I have received the righteousness of God through justification, but I'm pressing toward that mark in my ways, and that's called sanctification. It says, I am being saved. Yes, I have been saved because Christ justified me, but I'm being saved because I'm pressing towards. I'm trying to get my life a little bit better day after day. I'm trying to climb higher in God. I'm trying to get everything that God has for me. I'm trying to live righteousness. I'm trying to put down those cigarettes. I'm trying to put down that fornication. I'm trying to get put those women aside out of my life. I'm trying to put those men outside of my life. I'm trying to put everything out of my life that is not pleasing to God, and I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm being sanctified in the process of sanctification. Sanctification is simply catching up to the judicial act of God that has already been given in my life by his blood. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, although I am saved, I am still being saved. I am being saved. It says, I am saved. I am being saved. But what is the last process? The last process, it says, I shall be saved. Just turn to your neighbor and says, I shall be saved. It is the third process of salvation. And this comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 50 to 53. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 50 to 53. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What does this say? What is this saying is that when you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have accepted everlasting life. That means that you are going to live forever. You're kind of like the show with the guys that always never died. He just lived forever. I forgot the guy with the sword, whatever his name was. Highlander, thank you. You're going to live forever. But this living forever is your spirit is going to live on. You have been given a gift of everlasting life. Now, one thing you have to understand, that this body has to die. The body has to die. Because of Adam's sin, this body has to die. And that's why it says this mortal must put on immortality, that the spirit that is within you. I'm Brian Jenkins, but Brian Jenkins is not the shell that you're looking at. It is the spirit that is within this body. My spirit is going to live on. This body has to die. This mortal must put on immortality, and we shall all be what? Changed. Well, what is this change that is going to take place? The change that is going to take place is that, remember, you have been saved. You've been given righteousness. You're constantly catching up to righteousness because it is sanctification. It is the process of catching up to the judicial act of God that was already given to you. Glorification says that I shall be saved. That means that when I put off this body, put off this life, I am now going to catch up to the righteousness that was already given me, and therefore spirit and justification and sanctification and glorification shall now occur in your life because of the fact that you have been given the gift of God through his son Jesus Christ. We shall be glorified. The scripture says that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. That says, I shall be saved. I am saved. I am being saved. And I shall be saved. It is the process of salvation. And when you want to ask the question today, are you saved? It simply says that, you know what? I have accepted Jesus. as my personal Lord and Savior. I've committed my life over to Him, and now I want to walk in a life that is pleasing to Him. And yes, I'm going to struggle with some stuff, but I'm going to make it. And then even when I don't make it in this body, God is going to give me another life, another body that is He has set aside for me, that I shall be perfect and I shall be like Him. Just like He was glorified and risen from the dead, we shall also be glorified. Can someone say amen? Amen. How many people are saved today? How many people are being saved? How many people shall be saved? Come on, put your hands together and thank God for His word today. I am saved. Saved. I am saved.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.